Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Something happened this morning that only happens once every 3 years. This morning we heard almost a full book of the Bible in one reading. All that was missing were four short verses. The book of Philemon is one of five one-chapter books we have in the Bible. The others are Obadiah in the Old Testament, and then, of course, Philemon, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude in the New Testament. But even though Philemon is a very short epistle, there's a lot here. In this letter, Paul shows us how we express God's love in our relationships in a very practical way. It tells us about grace, mercy, kindness, and forgiveness as he speaks about the power of God to restore relationships. Paul's letter to Philemon may be short, but if we take it to heart, it demonstrates how the gospel, the message of God's forgiveness and mercy for the sake of Christ, makes us useful saints, people who are transformed and then called to show what this looks like. There are three main persons mentioned in this epistle: Paul, a man named Philemon, and another man by the name of Onesimus. We know the most about Paul. He's the one Christ came to on a road and literally knocked him off his horse and changed the whole direction of his life. Paul, first known as Saul, started out as a violent persecutor of the church. But the Lord called him to faith. Paul went from being a persecutor to a preacher, from an enemy of the gospel to the greatest evangelist, teacher, theologian, and missionary the church has ever known. The gospel made such a big impact in Paul's life that though he lost so much from an earthly perspective, he had to remain faithful, because denying the reality of the risen Lord would be like saying that up is down, blue is red, and day is night. But after many years of missionary work, Paul was forced to appeal to the Roman civil authorities to escape being murdered by the Jewish religious authorities in Jerusalem. He was taken to Rome to await trial, and that's most likely where Paul is writing from when he writes this letter to Philemon, sometime around the year 60 AD, very close to the end of Paul's physical life. While under house arrest in Rome, Paul was allowed to have visitors. And it was likely during this time that he came in contact with this fellow named Onesimus. Onesimus had come to Rome from the city of Colossae. You'll be familiar with that because that's where the book of Colossians is addressed to. It's a city in Western Asia Minor. That's actually modern-day Turkey. But Onesimus had not come to Rome on business or on vacation or anything like that. Onesimus had left Colossae and gone far away to the big city of Rome in hopes of getting lost in the crowds because he was a runaway slave. Now, slavery in those days was much different than the slavery that was experienced in our country. In Paul's day, a slave wouldn't necessarily be a slave for life or be harshly mistreated. Oftentimes, a slave was considered part of the family and instructed, if they were educated, instructed the children of the home. If a slave proved to be trustworthy, he could be given a good deal of responsibility and eventually win his freedom. But being a slave was still being a slave. You'd been forcibly removed from your family and were forced to serve the one who owned you. And if you disobeyed your master or ran away and were caught, you would be very harshly punished and possibly even sent to die in the amphitheater for the enjoyment of the crowd. Now, for some reason, we don't know what it was, Onesimus had run away. And somehow he came into contact with Paul and became a Christian. Paul had come to love Onesimus, referring in his letter to him as "my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment." But what would now become of Onesimus? He was a Christian, but he was still a runaway slave. And there were people who were always looking for his kind. In fact, it was a lucrative trade to do so. So Onesimus' life was one of fearful uncertainty. He was staying in Rome, but his home was back in Colossae. But how could he go back? He'd not only run away, but he apparently had stolen from his master as well. So what would his master do to him if he returned? Well, it just so happens that his master back in Colossae was this other man, Philemon. And this letter is addressed to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Now, the way that's written, it's most likely that Philemon is married to Apphia and that Archippus may even be their son. He was likely very wealthy. He was a host to one of the house churches in that city. Philemon was a Christian. In fact, a Christian through the ministry of Paul himself. As Paul makes his appeal on Onesimus' behalf, he says, "If Onesimus has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me even your own self." Paul is counting on the power of the gospel to transform that relationship of Philemon and Onesimus from that of offended master and punishable slave to that of brothers in Christ. He writes that he wants Philemon to have Onesimus back, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother. By faith in Christ, Philemon and Onesimus are both children of God and now brothers to each other. But Paul doesn't order Philemon to do what he says. He doesn't say, "Hey, I'm an apostle, I'm your spiritual leader, you have to do what I say." Instead, Paul appeals to Philemon in a spirit of gentle persuasion, so that Philemon, of his own volition, would let love and forgiveness direct his actions. Paul says to Philemon, "Though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. And again, I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord." And he even suggests that it might not be mere coincidence that these things had taken place. He says, "This perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother." Paul may be suggesting here that perhaps this was God's way of bringing Onesimus to faith in Christ. In this letter, Paul shows how the gospel transforms relationships. The relationship of Paul to Onesimus, that of a spiritual father and child, the relationship of Paul to Philemon, Paul appealing to him as a brother rather than ordering him as a superior, and the hoped-for relationship now of Philemon to Onesimus, brother to brother, not just master to slave. What empowered those transformed relationships was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the same gospel and the same power that transforms the relationships we have in our lives. Our lives are different because we are Christians. And this shows itself in how we treat one another in the body of Christ, in the family of God, his church. There are none who are greater than another in the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all servants of the same master, the Lord Jesus, children of the same Father. You see, love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, these aren't just words on a page. These are realities in our lives. They're the ways that we treat one another. We're a family, but we're not without sin. We aren't perfect people, and so we hurt one another from time to time. But we also know the reality of forgiveness. We ourselves have received forgiveness from God, and that is how we learn to forgive one another. We know the importance of restored relationships because God Himself has restored His relationship with us through His own Son. In his commentary on Philemon, Martin Luther expresses it like this. This epistle gives us a masterful and tender illustration of Christian love. For here we see how St. Paul takes the part of poor Onesimus and to the best of his ability advocates his cause with his master. He acts exactly as if he were himself Onesimus who had done wrong. Yet he does this not with force or compulsion, as lay within his rights, but he empties himself of his rights in order to compel Philemon also to waive his rights. What Christ has done for us with God the Father, that St. Paul also does for Onesimus with Philemon. For Christ emptied himself of his rights and overcame the Father with love and humility, so that the Father had to put away his wrath and rights and receive us into favor for the sake of Christ, who so earnestly advocates our cause and heartily takes our part. For we all are Onesimuses, if we believe. In the way Paul writes to Philemon, he shows the love and grace that he learned from Christ. And he shows that it isn't just some vague concept, but it's demonstrated in very real ways in our lives. It's demonstrated in how Paul appeals for Onesimus. In his letter to the Romans, Paul says, "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." Paul shows what it's like, what that looks like in our lives as he intercedes for Onesimus, just as Christ lives and makes intercession for us, just as Jesus is our advocate before the Father. Paul was an advocate for Onesimus. Paul is simply putting into practice the love that he has learned from Christ. And likewise, Paul demonstrates a sacrificial love for Onesimus, even offering to cover any debts that Onesimus may owe Philemon. Paul writes, "If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge it to my account." Charge it to my account. Peter wrote that we are saved not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's what Jesus did for us. He paid the price that we owe, even at the cost of his own life. And when he cried out, "It is finished," Jesus was declaring, "Paid in full." All of your sins, all of the ways that you've done wrong and offended God and hurt your neighbor, Jesus says, "Charge it to my account." And with that debt fully paid, fully forgiven, you are now free. You're out from under the bondage to sin and death. You're free. Free to love and free to serve. Free to show others how the love of Christ permeates and transforms how you live toward others. This little letter to Philemon gives us a big lesson on how the gospel transforms our relationships. Paul, Onesimus, Philemon, and we could just as well write in the names of every person in our congregation. For by God's grace in Christ, that same spirit of mercy and forgiveness is now alive in us. In Christ, we are transformed to love, not just in heaven, but here on earth. Amen.